So turn with me in the Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and he said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. And we read of the same story happening in John chapter 6, from verse 16 to 21. But just to give this story context, John the Baptist had just died. And Jesus came, he had heard John the Baptist had died, he'd taken his disciples to spend some time alone, the crowds pressed into him, he fed the 5,000, and then he sent the disciples on the way, and then we have the walking on the water and him appearing to his disciples. And in another scripture in Matthew, we see in the same story that Peter actually climbed out the boat and walked towards Jesus. But this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, it is the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels. And it actually is the center point of Jesus' ministry, this time of feeding of the gospel, feeding of the 5,000. Because from this point, Jesus started then teaching his disciples and letting his disciples know who he was. And why he had come to planet Earth. Because the disciples could not understand his mission until they knew his identity. So this is a key part of the story. The walking on the water, Jesus appearing to him in the water, is a center point between the feeding of the 5,000 and everyone deserting him, because what exactly what happened. Because he feeds the 5,000 with the bread, walks on the water, goes into a time of teaching the disciples and tells them that he is the bread of life and they've got to eat him. And many of his disciples desert him at that time. So this is and he then starts changing his ministry to start revealing who he is, because up until now that was hidden. And what's very interesting, what was the event that spun this whole series of events to happen, was John the Baptist died. John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And he was in prison. He was imprisoned for a time before he was beheaded, when you look at his story. John the Baptist was born to be beheaded. He was born as a forerunner of Jesus to die as a forerunner of Jesus, to die as the last prophet of the Old Testament. And God kept him alive until this point. It was the right time in Jesus' ministry for John the Baptist to die. It was the cutting off of the old. John the Baptist, in this time that they were alive, the way to kill anybody off was to be crucified. No one was beheaded. The death, when you were sentenced to death and had to die, the way that happened was to be crucified. But John the Baptist was beheaded. His head was cut off. The old way of thinking under the old covenant was cut off. That's why he had to be beheaded. Jesus was ushering in a whole new way of living. He was ushering in the new covenant. And when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded and had died, he knew his time was now come to reveal himself as the Son of God. And that's what he started to do from this point onwards. But what I'm wanting us to do, that's just the context of the story of Jesus walking on the water. If you look at the scripture, it says here in verse 45, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he goes up to the mountainside to pray. That word immediately means right now. It means immediately. No 5-minute wait, half an hour wait, hour wait, and now. No, it means immediately. South Africans, just now means an hour's time. The scripture, the word that says Jesus made his disciples, that word made means that he compelled them, he constrained them to go, he forced them to go. Now, I found that very strange. Why would Jesus have to force these disciples to get in the boat and cross the other side in the boat? You know why? Half of them were fishermen. They could read the weather. They knew a storm was coming. There was no way they're climbing in that boat. But Jesus wanted to reveal himself to them as the Son of God, who had power and authority over the nature. So he had to force them to get into the boat. He made them. He compelled them. He said, you will go now, immediately, in that boat. Go. And he goes up to the mountainside to pray. The scripture also said he saw them battling against the storm, because the storm did come. And he only, in the third watch of the night, which is in the early hours of the morning, he's sitting up there on the mountain praying. He's watching them struggle in that water because the waves are so big and the storms come. And he leaves them to struggle. And only on the third watch, which is the early hours of the morning, did he then walk on the water to them to help them. And in this whole story of Jesus walking on the water, there's such key lessons for us. Because the title of my message is taken from verse 48 in Mark chapter 6. Because the wind was against them. The disciples were struggling because the wind was against them. And I'm wanting to talk today about us as children of God living in the kingdom when we are in the storms, when the wind is against us. How did we cope? There are three types of winds that will come up against us. The one wind is the wind that the enemy sends, that is demonic. And we find that wind actually happening earlier on in the first storm that Jesus confronted, but this time he was actually in the boat. I think it's Mark 4. He was in the boat, sleeping. And this wind came and the storm came, and the scripture actually says it was actually dangerous because that the swell was so big and the waves were coming into the boat. And Jesus was sleeping. If Jesus is in that storm with you, you can have peace. He was sleeping. And they had to wake him up and say, Jesus, don't you even care about us? Yeah, we're about to die and you're sleeping. How many times don't we say that when we are going through our storms? Jesus, you don't love me. You don't care about me. You're not with me. Because Jesus may be appearing to be sleeping in our middle of our storm. And the way that Jesus handled the storm was that he woke up. He said, why are you of such little doubt? Turn around, and he rebuked that storm to be silent. And it was immediately silent. When the winds that come up against us are the winds that the demonic send, the winds that are of the devil, the winds that Satan has put against you to stop you walking in what God wants you to do, you take your stand with peace in your heart because you know Jesus is with you, and you rebuke that storm and tell it to go. Be still. When your mind is so in turmoil of what is happening for your situation, you say, be still in Jesus' name. But you see, this storm we're looking at today, when the winds are against us, is not a storm the enemy has sent. The second storm that comes up against us, or the winds that blow up against us, are winds that are circumstantial because of the world we live in. And this is what was happening here with the disciples. It was a normal storm that happens in that region of Galilee that the fishermen knew because it was that season that were going to come. And here Jesus was making them go out into that storm. He had to make them go out. So we have storms in our life that are circumstantial because of the world we live in. Jesus himself said that we will have trouble in this world because this world belongs to Satan. Adam gave it to Satan. When God created this earth and he made Adam and Eve, he took Adam and Eve and he put them into the garden and he told them to rule and to reign over the world that they lived in. Do you know that he never once told them to rule and reign over each other? He told them to rule and reign over their circumstances, their nature that they're living in, the world that they were living in. So Satan appears on the scene and Satan manages to convince them to hand over that authority that they had to rule and reign to him. And that's exactly what they did. So they gave Satan the authority over the nature and over the world and over the birds and the sea and the animals and everything that was in their world. They gave that authority to Satan. That's why we're sitting with what we are sitting today. That's why we are sitting with lions attacking us. That's why we are sitting with spiders biting us. That's why we're sitting with women having pain during childbirth. That's why we are sitting with the hurt we go through and the negative stuff in our lives. Because of that authority, when Satan got that authority, he distorted it. And he came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he took from us what belonged to us. So Jesus comes on the scene. And he decides he's going to get back that authority for us. So he dies on the cross and he goes into Satan's world and he takes back from Satan the keys that gave Satan that authority. And then when we come into the kingdom, Jesus gives it to us. So in the cross, under the cross, when we say, yes, Lord, I believe in what you've done for me on that cross, that you have forgiven me of all my sins, that you have accepted me just as I am, and you walk in right relationship once more with God the Father, you have authority to rule and reign over all your circumstances. That's what Jesus did for you. So when this wind blows against you of the circumstances we are in, because Satan is still ruling and reigning on this earth, it is only going to be taken from him when the new heavens and the new earth comes. But we cannot control the circumstances because of Satan, but how we respond to it, that is key. That is what our responsibility is. How are we responding to the winds that are blowing up against us? That's what I'm wanting us to look at. The third wind is winds that are sent by God. Yeah, he does send us wind. The wind of the Holy Spirit that blows through our church and in our lives and in the body of the Christ of Christ all over the world, shaking off what God is not involved in. God will never send a wind to harm us or destroy us. But he will send a wind to blow against our traditions, our belief system based on our past experiences, against our foundations that we have built that have not been the correct foundation that he has wanted us to build. He will send his wind and he will blow against all of that. Unfortunately, we have the same response that the disciples had in the boat. It's a ghost. And we look at the winds that God is sending against us to break down our belief systems that are not of him, to break down and blow away our traditions, and we say it's demonic. It's a ghost. But it's the wind of the Holy Spirit. So let us look and see what happened here. When the winds are blowing against us to keep us on track with what Jesus is doing in our lives, The first thing we can learn from this scripture is that our internal frame of reference has to be who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. So when these winds of circumstances blowing against us, we have to sit back and say, who is Jesus? What is my belief system in the midst of this? Do I see Jesus as the Son of God? Do I see that he is in this wind with me? He is in the storm with me, even though he may appear not to be doing anything because he's sleeping. He's still with us. At this time of the story, the disciples still did not see that Jesus was the Son of God. They did not recognize who he was. They just thought he was this great prophet, this great teacher who did miracles. And too many of us as believers today have no internal, personalized experience of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We grow up seeing Jesus as a priest or the lamb that was crucified, but we are living in the body of Christ today where we need to see Jesus as King. He is revealing himself to his people, to his bride, as the King, the Lord of Lords, the one who stands with authority, the King from Revelation chapter 1, where John looked at him and saw him in his majesty. That is the Jesus who is working on planet Earth today through the Holy Spirit. Not Jesus the Lamb, not Jesus the priest, although he is all that and will be all that to us. But he is manifesting himself as Jesus the King, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, with all power, all authority. That is the Jesus of today. When you look at the story with Jesus appearing and them saying to them, oh, they thought he was a ghost and they were terrified. Why would they see Jesus as a ghost? Because when you look at the Sea of Galilee, there were many myths and many stories of sea monsters on that lake. You know, the Loch Ness monster. There were myths and there were stories and there were fishermen traditions and fishermen stories of monsters appearing late at night, early in the morning. And in that area, we have had the privilege of being there in Galilee. In the early hours of the morning, there is a mist that rests on that whole lake. Because the lake is in these mountains, you know, the hills where Jesus was doing his Sermon on the Mount that surrounds it. So what happens is that cold air sinks and there's mist all over this lake. So yeah, these fishermen, being fishermen, most of these disciples, there were one or two tax collectors and that, they knew those fishermen stories. They knew those myths. They knew those traditions. So the minute that this figure appears in the mist, they fell back to what they knew. They fell back to their myths and the stories and the traditions instead of remembering that this Jesus had just fed 5,000 and had a miracle and took power and authority over nature by adding on that bread to feed 5,000, by causing five loaves, what was it? Five loaves and two fishes to multiply so much that it feeds 5,000. Okay, I will. you see, that had just happened. But the minute a circumstance came their way and a wind came their way that was the same as what they knew. The myths and what was their frame of reference. They fell back to that instead of what Jesus had just done. Their frame of reference was the stories of the day of sea demons. And they didn't believe that it could be Jesus that had been left behind on the other side that was walking on the water towards them. Another example where they thought ghosts happen was found in Luke 24. When Jesus appeared to them after his death and resurrection, he walked through the wall to appear to his disciples. And they said, this is a ghost. after seeing Jesus die on that cross, that was their frame of reference. He's dead. We're never going to see him again. So when he walked through that wall, they fell back again to what they knew. He's dead on the cross. That's a ghost. When the winds of God start blowing in our life and start blowing in our church, and he wants to blow away everything that's not of him, we have to sit back and allow our internal frame of reference to see Jesus, who he is, the Son of God, with all power, all authority, and not fall back to the ways of the world or our previous traditions that are not biblical. There are some traditions that are good, but the ones that are not biblical. It was only when Jesus said, "It is I, do not be afraid," in Mark 6, verse 50, did they let him climb into the boat. When Jesus said to them, "It is I," he used the Greek word ego emi. Sorry for my pronunciations for all those that are Greek scholars amongst us. Which means to be and exist. While Jesus was identifying himself to his disciples as being their teacher and friend, he was suggesting far more, because he used the same word that God himself used in Exodus 3 verse 14 when Moses said to him, "Who are you?" He said, "I am who I am." It is I, the I am of the Hebrew scriptures, whose power was displayed over the waters as well as the dry land of multiplying the loaves. That's who Jesus was revealing himself to as. And we saw how from this moment on, Jesus was focusing on revealing who he was to his disciples so that he can reveal his true mission. And he goes on and he asks his disciples who they think he is. So we, for us to, when we start seeing these winds blowing, we need to understand that we need to see Jesus for who he is. We have to learn to live from within, realizing that the power flows from inside to the outside, not the other way around. When we see Jesus of who he is, that he dwells within us by his spirit, it is from that place that we live outward. But what happens is that we have the outward circumstances of our world we live in pressing in against us and robbing us of our peace, robbing us of our joy, and making us anxious and bitter and unhappy instead of the other way around. We place limits on ourselves by agreeing with our past experiences. I want to do an illustration here. Kenny, will you come be the devil? Mike, do you mind coming and playing God? Okay, Mike's God. Okay, and Kenny's the devil. Okay, so now in between comes Steve. You stand in between them. Steve's man.
He's the ghost.
Steve is representing all of you. Okay, so you're in the middle. No, okay. So now Steve decides, makes a decision in his life. I'm wanting to be count for Jesus. I'm wanting to be a victorious Christian. I'm wanting to live out my faith in God. I'm wanting to live out all that God wants me to live out. He makes that decision before God, answers the prayer line, gets prayed for. He's now made a decision to actually do what God wants him to do. Dear old devil, what does he do? The minute he knows Steve's making those decisions, okay, you don't have to, we're not winning prizes for drama here. So he whispers this thought in Steve's mind. And he says to Steve, "You're never going to do that. You're never going to do that. Your dad told you you were stupid. The last time you prayed for somebody and thought you were going to be a victorious Christian, ha, 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 nothing happened. Come on, what other lies does the enemy tell us? You're not going to amount to much." This side, the Holy Spirit is rejoicing. And the Holy Spirit says to Steve, You can do it. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I'm with you. I never leave you or forsake you. You're my son. I'm so pleased with what you've decided to do. At that moment, guess what kicks in? A principle that Jesus, that God himself instituted in Exodus already, when he said, a matter is established by two or three witnesses. And we see that same principle being brought through by Paul in his teachings in Corinthians. A matter is established by two or three witnesses. What does this make? Two. It's established. Yes, you're the devil. It's established. What does this make? Two. It's established. What I mean by established, it means it's going to happen. It's settled. It's a done deal. What are we going to choose? To side with the devil and make it happen? Or side with God and make it happen? We have that choice every single day of our lives. Every day. So Steve, what are you going to choose? You're choosing Mark. Oh, sorry, God. Thank you, you three. That is very good. That's very good. Did you hear what Mark said? The devil stands, excuse my Afrikaans terminology, stok sien alleen, which means he stands alone. When we side with God, we are siding with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three. Plus me, four, a matter is established. So next time you have this little in your eye, in your ear, and this thing at this, the, he's trying to discourage you, what are we going to do? Be gone in Jesus' name. We are not even going to allow him to dwell in our minds, in our heart, in our lives. We're going to turn and face the one and only true God, lift our eyes to where our help comes from, draw on the strength of the Holy Spirit, and allow Jesus Christ to rise within us, and we take and we rule and we reign over our circumstances. Amen. Oh, I love it when the word comes alive and when a plan comes together. The circumstances around us is not the problem. It's the perception of the circumstances that's the problem. How do we see them? We give our circumstances more power than what Jesus himself gives it. Because he's bigger than that. He is bigger and he dwells within us. Okay, let's go for number two. I can't get onto all that. Number two. That was just number one. Number two, we are looking at how we can stand in the midst of winds that blow against us. How do we react against the winds that blow against us? So number one, we have to realize that the King of Kings is with us. He dwells within us. We have to have our internal frame of reference as being who Jesus is. And if you don't know who Jesus is, get into the Word of God and find out who Jesus is. He is the King of Kings. He is our high priest. He is the morning star. He is our comforter through the Holy Spirit. Number two, we need to take steps of faith while the winds are blowing. And that's where dear old Peter comes in. In Matthew chapter 14, 23 to 33 is the same story, but this Matthew, the disciple Matthew, who the writer who wrote on Matthew, adds another dimension to the story. He adds Peter's part in it. If you look in 14, verse 22, here we say again, verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples, forces them to go on ahead of them. And after he dismissed them, he goes onto the mountain, prays, and again we find the same phrase in Matthew being used. The boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. They see him as a ghost, but Jesus immediately says to them, take courage, it is I. Uses the same words that he used when we saw in the book of Luke. And he says, don't be afraid. And that's when Peter says, Lord, if it is you, Peter replies, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. This is such a key lesson for us. There are many of us out there who is walking on water or attempting to walk on water, and Jesus has not said, come. And you wonder why you're sinking. Every step we take is in when we are going to take these steps of faith, we need to know, we know that Jesus has said. We need to hear the come word. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died. Do you notice that in the storm, Jesus did not rebuke the storm? He just simply climbed into the boat and the storm stopped. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When we are being buffeted and tossed this way and that by the winds of life, by winds that God may even send our way, it is the time to step out of the boat and take steps of faith. But what is our natural reaction when we are being buffeted by the storms of life and we are being buffeted by what is coming our way, by circumstances? What is our natural reaction? We turn and run. We hide at home. And we don't come to church. We run away from our friends. We don't want to socialize. And we don't want to mix with Christians anymore. We get involved in things that God never wants us to get involved into. Because we're running away. When the winds come, this is the time for you to have a matter established by hearing what God is saying and stepping out in faith when the winds are blowing. Step out and pray for healing when you're experiencing a wind of ill health. Sow financially when you're experiencing the wind of financial pressure. When you seem to have lost favor with man, when there's trouble at work, when relatives are fighting with you because of decisions you may have made, when everything seems to be going wrong, step out in faith and bless those against you. We don't have to have all our ducks in a row. Do you know that phrase, ducks in a row? Before we take risks and step out the boat. God desires progress, not perfection in our works. It is not the time to withdraw into our lives and hide until the wind has passed. It is not the time to yield to our fleshly desires of woe is me or anger at the wind blowing through your life. In the midst of the winds, Jesus is saying, come. What is Jesus saying to you today in the midst of the winds blowing? We live by the words of the mouth of God. In Matthew 4, verse 4, when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was having Satan's wind against him, he answers Satan by saying, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our comfort levels does not determine whether something is of God or not. I'm going to say that again. Our comfort levels, whether we are feeling comfortable or not, does not determine whether something is of God or not. Because I'm telling you now, when God's wind blows, you're not going to be comfortable. God is not about our comfort. He wants us to become more like his son. He is always calling us to go deeper beyond our comfort zones, to take the risks and step out of the boat. So not only are we looking at who Jesus is, not only are we hearing what he is saying in our lives and taking those steps of faith, number three, we need to be willing to let Jesus in. The disciples in John 6:21 were willing to take him into the boat. When we are willing to let Jesus into the circumstance or situation, something happens. Scripture says to us, immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading in John 6, verse 21. And the wind died down in Mark 6:51. Both supernatural events. So when we invite Jesus into our circumstance, when that wind is blowing, something will happen. When the winds are against us, we turn everywhere else except to the Lord. In Mark 6, verse 48, we actually see that Jesus was about to pass them by. When we are struggling against the wind, we can miss Jesus passing us by. So when they are struggling and they see this ghost was not about to climb in the boat. This ghost was walking past them. They had to invite Jesus into that boat. And they only did it when he spoke to them and said, "It is I," that they invited him in. Only when Jesus was invited in and stepped into the boat did the winds stop, the storm stopped. And immediately that boat was to the shore. Two supernatural events when they invited him in. So many times what happens when these winds are blowing us, the winds of circumstance or the winds that God sends against us, and we look at that, we can miss the opportunity God wants to do something by not inviting him into the situation. By not stopping, taking stock, say, "God, is this wind of you? What are you doing and what do you want me to do?" Two questions we've always got to ask. What are you doing and what do you want me to do? And we invite him into that boat and we sit back and we watch what he's going to do, because he always does something when he turns up. So when the winds are blowing against us and we do not understand what is happening around us spiritually and naturally, let us be a people whose internal frame of reference is who Jesus is. That we trust him, we understand with fresh revelation that he's the Son of God with all power over death, disease, and demons, and that we have that same power. Let us be willing to take steps of faith in the midst of the winds and be willing to climb out the boat, willing to take action, willing to respond, willing to do something. And let us be a people who are willing to let Jesus into our lives, not run away from him, not pick up the latest teaching on how I can be healed, not listen to the latest tapes and videos of how to be healed. Those are all good, but they are good when Jesus puts them into our life, because there's so much mess out there. There's so much wrong teaching. There's so much wrong concepts. And there are also good concepts and good teachings and good stuff by anointed men and women of God, but they are not what we need for that wind. Because every wind needs a fresh key and strategy from God. And we need to find it. And we're not going to find it by somebody else's revelation. We need to find it by our own. We need to know Jesus intimately. And I've come to the end of my notes. I think we need to pray. Can I pray? Is that all right?
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.